In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, as we gather on this wintry morning, the first seemingly of this year, it's really important to realize how we gather. We gather in a unique way. This isn't a worldly gathering. It's not a place where we get together for community, maybe partially that, but that's not the purpose. We don't just come here to sing and pray. It's partially that, but that's not the reason. What's happening here in the Orthodox Church is the gathering of what the Scriptures call the Ecclesia. The Ecclesia is that word in the Scriptures in Greek for the gathering of the people. It's the Church. When I was thinking I could be a Christian without the Church, without the ancient Church, I kept running across that word, Ecclesia, the gathering of the people. You can't be a Christian on your own. There's this concrete body of the Church. And I didn't make that up. The Scriptures tell us. So we're gathering as the Church. And what is the Church? Not a man-made institution. It's the living, breathing body of Christ, of which we know from the Scriptures that He is the living head. We say there's one Church because why? There's only one, there's not many Christs. There's one Christ, the God-man, and as such He has one body of which He is the head, and that ancient Church is the Orthodox Church to this day. The Church isn't a club, but it's a spiritual hospital. That's been so lost in the West. The Church, above all, is a spiritual hospital established not by fallen men who can be fooled, but established by God Himself, the living God. And He established the Church, why? Not to give us rules, to make us feel guilty, No. He established His Church, and He said the gates of hell will not prevail against it, for one reason, for us to enter into it and to be healed of our spiritual and physical sicknesses. I mentioned to the catechumens yesterday that the Holy Fathers and modern bishops, they say that if Christ appeared on the scene now in the modern world and Christianity began, you know, if you look at modern universities, they have the theology department is always grouped with the philosophy department, how you think about the world. He says that's wrong, this modern elder. He says, the bishop says, if anything, it should be put in the medical school. That's what theology should be. The West, it makes sense they put it in the theology and with the philosophy because it's all about this. That's flawed. The ancient Church, it was all about the healing of the heart and the soul and the body. That's what's happening. It's what the Church is. It's so forgotten. So many people don't even know that this is what Christianity is. They have a skewed idea. So it's very important for us to know what was the ancient understanding of what the Church is and what is it still now? It's the same for us. It's the same in the Orthodox Church. You're not here, brothers and sisters, today to learn how to be nice. Certainly being nice is a good thing. Being moral is a good thing. But that is the outside of the onion, the outside layer. It is by no means the purpose. People often think that they're going to come to church and pray and fast all to reach the lofty goal of being a nice person. That's not worth striving for. If it's nice to be a nice person, but that's not going to save your soul. That's not what Jesus certainly came to do. And He wasn't always nice as well. We're here to be healed in the core of our being. From sin, from death, which sin and death are together, that pervades this whole crazy fallen world. Look at the TV. Look what's happening. It pervades our world. And we're healed by who? Not by ourselves. We have effort, of course, but by the God who is not distant from us, not in some ivory tower, the God who became one of us and He transformed what it means to be a human being. It's totally different to be a human being after Christ has come and become one of us, destroyed death, and raised up humanity to the kingdom of heaven again. Why did Christ come? To unite us to Himself so deeply. And so intimately, not just to kind of be like, okay, God, I know You're there. Yep, I believe in You. That distant belief is not what we're after, but so many people stay in that dead place. He doesn't want that. He wants your heart. He came to be so inextricably intertwined with the soul and body of a person that it's beyond comprehension. Brothers and sisters, it's so deep and intimate, the relationship that God calls us to be one with us. Father, I pray that they are one as we are one. Right? He comes to come inside of us in this life, not just when we die, in this life that intimate relationship begins and it continues into eternity. But here's the deal. We have a choice. Jesus didn't come and say, you're all going to believe in Me now. He could have done that. He's God. But he chose to give us freedom, a very divine quality. And we have the choice to accept and to live a life of constant love, which is what Christianity is. But that requires a struggle. That requires a fight for salvation. We have to go through that dynamic struggle of repentance so we can be healed by Christ. Like the saints. The saints show us what it's like to live a Christian life. Or we can reject it. We can reject it fully. God does not force us. It's not irresistible grace falsely believed in the West. We can resist His grace. But the beautiful thing is our sweet Christ. You know, I knew a little Greek girl when I was in Greece, and she called Christ her Christouli. Christouli. That's in Greek, it's like calling, I call my daughter Alexandra Sasha. It's like a diminutive. And she comes to the God of all and says, "My Christouli, my little Christ." Such intimacy and such love. And she sees Him as the sweet healer that He is. We forget that sometimes, but our the living God who made heaven and earth, the canyons, the mountains, our hearts, each of us, He stands, the Father said, with open arms. With the chief doctors to help Him in the hospital, the Mother of God, the holy saints, Peter and Paul, and all the myriad of saints, and then His hirelings, the assistant helpers, the nurses, who are the bishops and the priests of the church who aid God in this work. What are they there for? To usher all of us in this crazy world into the hospital. Come, please, into the hospital and to begin the process of healing. So let's not delay. We're called into the hospital. You've been brought in today. Now the question is, what are we going to do? In the hospital, you have three different kinds of people in the hospital of the church. You have those who are just entering, and of course they're very sick. Why do we expect people that just come into the hospital to be well? They wouldn't be there in the first place. I had someone come to our church and say, "This is a motley crew. You got a lot of messed up people here." Yeah, that makes sense, because if they're fine, there's no reason to go to church. Jesus says, those who are sick have need of a doctor. If you think you're fine, then you don't need to be here. So no wonder we're coming in with our arms dragging off and our guts spilling out spiritually, so to speak, and our hearts are broken and we're depressed. That's to be expected when you walk into the doors in this church. But it can't remain that way. So we have those who are just stumbling in, very sick. Then we have those who are in the process of being healed and taking the medicine, maybe moving up the floors of the hospital, so to speak, in terms of receiving the medicine, being healed. And then we have those who are healed, the saints, who show us what it looks like to be healed and to be a normal human being. Not the normal of the world, the normal of God. And we have all this that takes place in the church. We're all in different places, and that's so beautiful. As long as each of us is moving forward. We can't stay where we are. They say in business, you're either growing or you're dying. It's the same in the spiritual life. If you think you're just treading water, you're sinking. So how do we do this? The fathers say by metanoia. What's metanoia in Greek? Repentance. And repentance isn't just feeling bad about what you did. It's a Westerner. It means to a whole change of mind. That you don't want to live that way anymore, and you believe that with God's help you can live differently. It's not depressing, it's dynamic. By repentance, how do we repent? You don't have to make it up. You don't have to go to Barnes & Noble. No one goes to Barnes & Noble anymore, I guess. But you don't have to peruse the internet for self-help books, you know, like I used to do before I found Orthodoxy, knowing my heart was empty. You just simply live the life of the church that's worked for 2,000 years. It's to take the prescribed medicine to the church. And by the way, that medicine, if you go to a hospital of the church in Siberia, or you go to the hospital of the Orthodox Church in South America, or in Utah, or in Alaska, or anywhere in the world, the medicine's the same because it's Christ's medicine. That's amazing in this crazy world. 2,000 years of saints prove to us that this medicine works. Is this worth it? Is it worth it to pray and to fast? Look around you. These millions of saints show us it's definitely worth it. And it is, dare I say, guaranteed to work. So we can forge ahead, brothers and sisters, with joy and trust. Not in a fallen man, not in a person who claims to have a vision all on his own. No, on the living God, the rock, the apostles, or the foundation, and the saints who build it. Not the Leaning Tower of Pisa, a strong block, a strong building that nothing will prevail against it to the end of time. It's very beautiful. So to do this, we have to pass through the stages of the spiritual life, the ancient saints say. And there's the three stages. There's the stage of purification, in Greek called catharsis. That's where we have catharsis. Purification, illumination, photesis in Greek, and the third is deification, which is theosis in Greek. Right? These are the stages the saints talk about in the spiritual life. Now, if we're honest, most of us are really stuck just beginning that first one. And that's what we need to really focus on. So let's start there. Catharsis, purification of our body and our soul. Not just spirit. We're not just spirit. We're a unity of body and soul. Jesus took on a body, so our body has to be purified for our soul to be purified. So what does that mean? That means the beginning of the spiritual life starts with catharsis, cleansing, and baptism. We have many catechumens getting ready for that. Chrismation, receiving the Holy Spirit. Confession. And I can't emphasize how important confession is and having a close relationship with the spiritual father. Not distant from the church. When you have, I have a doctor who's so wonderful. He's wonderful. He changes, he helps us so much in my family. But you know what? If I had to go to a different doctor every time and re-explain, he's my doctor. He's my mom's doctor. He delivered Sasha. I mean, he knows our family. And so it's so helpful. And it's not distant. He loves us. He has an icon of, he's LDS. He has an icon of Jesus of Sinai right in his office when you go in from us. Many years. That's an aside. But simply to say, we should have more of a closeness with our spiritual doctor, our spiritual father. Myself and Father Paul, we love you. I want to have that. It's so helpful. And many of us stay distant because we're afraid of intimacy with God and what it means to grow. Catharsis is fasting to humble our body. Learning to pray. We're all learning how to pray with the prayer book and with each other. Changing our life. What does that mean? Getting rid of things and people and situations that make you sick. Make your body and soul sick and keep us from healing. And adding things in your life that bring healing and bring joy and beauty into your life. The gospel today is very helpful in this way. Those who would think the church is otherwise, look at the gospel today. It's one of my favorites. The Lord is being thronged by people. And this woman with the issue of blood just touches the hem of his garment with such faith. And the Lord says, "Who touched me?" And it's hilarious in a way, right? Because Peter says, "Are you joking? 1,000 people are touching. What do you mean, who touched me?" But there was something different going on. Many touched him, but only she was healed. Right? The Lord said, "I felt power come out of me." Dynamis in Greek. I felt power come out of me. Here's the question. Why did power come from Jesus, the living God, to her and not to everybody else who was grabbing on? Why? Because it's not enough just to touch Christ. Otherwise, everyone who met him would have been saved automatically and believed in him. But many left after touching him and seeing him and seeing miracles. It's not enough for us to go through the motions. Oh, I'm baptized, yeah. That's worthless alone. Just to go, I go to church, kind of do my prayers. We have to have a fiery heart for God, brothers and sisters. People think that's Protestant. No, it's Christian. Orthodox Christians, we have everything to be healed. We should touch Christ and be full of healing. But we're often not because our hearts are hard and dry. We have to be striving, hungry for repentance, yearning and just hungering for Him. To see how sick we are. And to then knowing that we got to cling to Him. He's everything to us. And then what happens? Power. Divine power comes from Christ into you and healing you. And what happened next in the gospel today? He goes from working that miracle to go and he raises the dead. This beautiful young girl who was dead, they laughed at him. She's sleeping. They mocked him. And he goes and he lifts her up and he says, "Give her something to eat." How beautiful. The Lord cares about raising us from the dead and even cares about the small things of our life. So tender and so beautiful our living God is. The point of that is, He can raise you from the death of your sins. People always say, "I'm never going to change, Father." That's nonsense. That's up to you. But He can raise the dead. He can heal all your sicknesses, but you have to have faith. We're so weak in our faith. We misunderstand faith. We put faith in doctors, in worldly therapists, and they're not all bad, but they have limited help. And often the doctors have no help, like the lady in today's gospel. You know, it says in the other gospel, she spent all her money on doctors, right? It says of her, and she was made worse and not better. People go to therapists and they're still depressed, right? We put so much faith in that, and yet so little faith in Christ and we don't believe. And we often say, well, I guess I don't have faith. I don't have belief. I guess I'm not a lucky one. That's wrong and not true. Here's the faith is always said. Faith is a choice. It's something that you will into existence. You say, God, I believe. Help my unbelief. It's a paradox. Every human heart is made to believe in God. You were made and built because you're in His image and likeness to be one with Him. And that yearning in every heart, I don't care. Every Muslim, every atheist, every Wiccan, they are made to be one with Christ. They just don't know it yet. And their hearts will not find rest until they find Him. St. Augustine says, my heart finds no rest, O Lord, until it finds rest in Thee. Every heart is made for this. Our hearts especially. And you're in the hospital right now. And the only thing keeping us is we don't believe. You can choose with your free will to believe. You cry out to Him with your words and with your life, and He will heal you. I guarantee it. He will heal you. Your faith will grow. Your belief won't just be like, yeah, I guess I believe He's there. You know, with my wife, I don't think to myself, yeah, I guess I believe she exists. Why? Because I know her, right? I can hold her hand. I know her. She's a real person to me. That's who God has to become to you. He's real. You can hold Him, stick His finger in His side. He's more real than even my wife and each other. He's a person, the living God and man. And we make God some philosophy that's far away. That is not who He is at all. He's a living God who is with us. We're going to say in the liturgy, Christ is in our midst. He's among us. He's closer than our own hearts after His ascension. The demons, they believe in Him and tremble. They believe He exists. They don't believe in Him. Do you know what can happen if you choose to believe and stop choosing just to be worldly? If you choose to say, I'm choosing a life of heaven. I'm choosing a life of virtue. You will transform, brothers and sisters. You will go from kind of believing mentally He exists and then waffling back and forth from that, which is miserable, to knowing Him. You will know Him. You will experience Him, not a frou-frou Pentecostal experience, a depth of knowledge when you start really praying, especially the Jesus prayer, when you humble your body through fasting and prayer. Why is it worth all the prayer and the fasting? Because you get to know Him. And your heart rejoices, and you never doubt ever again that God exists. Don't you want that? Don't you want to believe that? I'm so thankful to God to have had a few of those experiences that I may not always pray very much, but I never, ever, ever doubt anymore. Ever. I was the biggest doubter. I have never had a time in my Orthodox life where I said, I'm going to go and fall down before this icon, and I'm not leaving until I'm consoled by You. And do you know what? He's never once not done it. Not by some voice, hi, Justin. No. By that gentle breeze and presence, it's us who just don't go do it. Brothers and sisters, it's a wondrous life. But if you just live the outside of the Christian life, I gotta fast, you check the boxes off, but you don't spend time in prayer, if you don't really go to confession with your spiritual father, if you don't really live it, it is a mess. It is a drudgery. I wouldn't even do it. It's all work and no transformation. It needn't be that way. We have to give our hearts to it. It's hard, Father. Yes, it's hard. Losing weight is hard, but it's worth it for your body. Being good at your job is hard, but it takes heart. It's worth it. This is the most intimate relationship for eternity, and it's so worth it. Let us not let our laziness keep us from this. And when you start knowing Him, brothers and sisters, you're not vacillating in faith. You're experiencing eternal paradise even in this life. So brothers and sisters, let us all hasten to be healed. Admit you're very sick. Me too. We're sick too. And then don't despair that you're sick, but rejoice that He, the living God, has come and established His ancient Orthodox Church to heal us. And it's a hospital, and it's guaranteed to heal us. And then, don't wait around. Enter. One priest said, we have the hospital, the church, but most of us spend time in the waiting room reading magazines rather than going in and plunging into healing. Yeah, it's hard to go in the hospital. The doctor says, you got to get naked. And you're kind of embarrassed of your wounds. And the doctor says, thank God you're here. Is it surgery? Yeah, it's going to be some surgery. It's going to be some medicine. It might sting. It might be bitter. But you're going to get better. How stupid to go, I don't want to show my wounds. I'll go off and die in the streets. That's what we often do in our pride. When you come in and you show your wounds to your spiritual fathers, to Father Paul and myself and to the church, we don't judge you or go, oh my gosh. We go, thank God you're here. It's going to take some work. It's going to be a little painful, but you can be healed. And that's why this church is growing, because that's what the faith is, brothers and sisters. So if you're not baptized, get on it. We started our catechism class last week. We have 20-something catechumens. It's essential you come. That class changed everyone yesterday. It's on Saturday at 4:30. You should all, forgive me, you should all be at that class. Orthodox your whole life, you should all come. I challenge you. You will learn so much and be inspired in your heart to live this life. Become a catechumen. Talk to Father Paul and myself. Get baptized and begin that catharsis. If you're baptized, progress. Don't stay in the same spot. Progress in your healing, having a spiritual father. Draw close to myself or Father Paul and come to us as the doctors, and we'll give you a prescription of prayer. Here's how your prayer rule. I don't know how to pray, Father. Here's your prayer rule, like the saints did, right? The priest is going to give you a regimen. The doctor says, take a walk, take this medicine, eat healthy, do this, and you'll be okay. The church, the priests say, come here. You're going to do these prayers. You're going to give. Here's how you're going to fast. Here's the spiritual book you're going to read. Here's how you're going to read the Gospels. Come to confession. Start living this life and come into the services in this community of incredible love. And you know what? You will be healed. Will it be easy? No. Will it be painless? No. Will it be glorious? Absolutely. I promise. The Lord loves us and promises this to us. And how do we know that? The church is a saint factory, a relic factory. The saints prove to us that it's true. So we pray to God, O God, who art love, is love itself. Open our eyes to see our sickness. Help us to cling to you above all, and to boldly, boldly begin to receive your living medicine in your church. Help us to help each other receive the living medicine in the church and to share it with the sick world. And heal us and lead us all into true health, which is theosis, deification. To become one with you like the saints did, and we can spend an eternity of unspeakable joy with you and with each other. May God help us to strive for the most beautiful thing in the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.